Let's take a minute to look at a labor dispute that's front page news and not in Wisconsin or Ohio. It's in Washington, D.C., where the union representing professional football players and on the other side of the table, NFL owners, are running out of time on an agreement to prevent the unthinkable, no pro football next season. Ken Belson covers the business of sports for the New York Times. Ken, I'm half kidding on the being no football, but it does get netty. Start with a sticking point. What's the holdup?
Well, unlike the struggles in Wisconsin and other states, this is a fight over riches, not poverty or a downward slide. The NFL has record revenues, close to $9 billion, and it's really a question of how to divide that up. They're not arguing that one side shouldn't get any of it. It's just a question of proportion.
Well, let's stay there for a second, because we understand the owners want to extend the season from 16 to 18 games. That's without, you know, more money. Mm-hmm. And they also want $1 billion in givebacks from the players. Now, there's like 1,600, maybe 1,700 players.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's still, I mean, $1 billion seems like a lot of money for one group of people to give back, especially in a year when, you know, we learned how many players have serious health problems for life in very short careers.
The owners argue that since this previous agreement that they're now working under was signed in 2006, when the economy was flush, a lot has changed since then, most notably the cost of investing in teams, building new stadiums and so forth. So their argument is that they need the $1 billion in givebacks as a way to ensure that the league continues to grow in the future. Now, that may sound counterintuitive if you're the player on the receiving end of that cut, but their idea is if we have more that we could reinvest, the league will continue to grow, bigger TV contracts, more stadiums, higher ticket prices, and that ultimately you, the player, will share in that. Of course, the problem is most players, their careers are only 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. so making that argument to a group that won't be around to reap the benefits is a hard one to swallow, I think, for the players.
Well, because of that and some other requirements from owners, like they want a rookie wage scale, they want to test players for human growth hormones, the players are now considering something that seems complicated. They may vote to decertify their union. In other words, remove the Players Association as their bargaining agent. Why? What would that do for them?
Well, it would make it impossible or difficult for the owners to lock them out as a union, and then in turn the players would, as individuals, sue the owners for antitrust violations. That sends us into a whole new ground, because then the courts are going to decide who's in the right on this argument. So basically everything will grind to a halt. Then we're into a legal tug of war that could go on weeks and months. And then I think the season, or the beginning of the season anyway, would be very much in jeopardy.
Well, but you point out that the owners, you know, are better positioned to endure a work stoppage. Players may be heard if paychecks stop.
Yeah, well, the owners have generally billions, and the players generally have millions. So, yes, from that perspective, the owners are better prepared. But they just lost a key decision the other day in federal court. One of the arrows in their quiver was that they could use revenue from their TV contracts. Of course, they'd have to pay it back to most of the TV companies. The judge said, actually, they're not allowed to tap into that reserve fund, if you will, or what amounts to a reserve fund. So suddenly, they're going to have to come out of their own pocket. Of course, they're appealing that decision. The players actually won that, and that's something in their favor as well.
Well, and so what do you think is going to happen now? I mean, you know, it's so funny. We've been looking at the calendar, because this week we see all these deadlines in Wisconsin. You know, they're setting a deadline for a vote, and there was a federal deadline for a budget vote, and, you know, Muammar Gaddafi's being delivered. We wondered what Nostradamus had to say about this week. Here you have this deadline. You know, do you think, you know, when push comes to shove, the players will accept maybe not playing?
Well, we're still in March. So, I mean, the silver lining in this story is that there are no games for several more months. So there's a lot of wiggle room in here. Now, obviously, when you get into a court calendar, it makes it a little more difficult to predict how long this will go on. There is the draft coming up, and players won't be able to re-sign contracts. So the bonuses they might have made will be deferred, if not received at all. But that's a small piece of a much bigger battle, and I think, frankly, they have several more months to work this out. So I'm not pessimistic that we'll miss any regular season games come September.
Ken Belson, who covers the business of sports for the New York Times, and that's what this is all about. Ken, thank you.
My pleasure.